Hello everybody, this is Salil Tripathi from the Institute for Human Rights and Business, and I'm here in London today with Lazarus Tamanna, who's a European coordinator for MOSOP. Now MOSOP, for those of us who have worked on business and human rights for a long time, would immediately recognize as a movement of the survival of the Ogoni people. Ogoni is a region, of course, in the Niger Delta, and that's where the pivotal epoch-making and historic struggle of the Ogoni people against oil companies, in particular Shell, started way back in the 1990s. Lazar, of course, you've been involved with that struggle for a long time. So for those of us who are new to the story, can you briefly describe what was the genesis of it and where we are today? And then we'll talk about the specific case.
The genesis of the movement for the survival of the Ogoni people, which started in 1990, was an agitation for a clean environment of the Ogoni and of the Niger Delta. Ken Saro-Wiwa, who was our first president, organized the Ogoni people in 1990 to form the movement for the survival of the Ogoni people to fight the oil companies for environment that they have destroyed, and also to fight the Nigerian government for human rights abuses. As you know, we have been extremely very successful in the sense that we have been able to raise the issue internationally and made it an international issue that other communities, other people have actually learned from what we have done. And we are still continuing our fight till today.
Yeah, of course, Saro-Wiwa's story is very tragic for those of us who are familiar with it, of course. But he was arrested on trumped-up charges, and with other Ogoni elders, nine of them, they were executed in 1995. On basically, it was a fake trial, lacking international rules and not following any procedures. From there, you have continued, you meaning the MOSOP itself, has continued to fight for justice. Can you tell us about the recent judgment that has come out about the compensation for pollution that has occurred in the Niger Delta, in the Ogoni land?
Yes. Unfortunately, in 1995, with the help of Shell and the Nigerian government, nine Ogoni people were hung with Ken Saro-Wiwa, which was a tragic situation for us. Now, recently, as early as 2014, we won a case against Shell in the London courts. In 2008, there was a massive oil spill in a community called Bodo in Ogoni land. And also in 2009, there was another massive oil spill on the transatlantic pipeline ferrying oil to Bonny Island for export. These pipes were ruptured and exploded and leaked several thousands of barrels into the Ogoni Creek. The Bodo community fortunately contacted Lede & Co.
Lede, of course, is a London-based law firm which is fighting this case. Yeah.
Yes. They contacted them, and then we took the case to court in London in 2011. On the 20th of June 2014, Shell was found guilty for devastating the Ogoni environment with those two massive oil spills. Now, compensation that they paid to the community was £55 million. And after that, they said that Shell must have to clean up the environment and restore the environment to how it was
before Shell came. Yeah.
Yeah, before.
Which was in late 1950s, yeah.
Yes, before it came. Now, Shell reluctantly paid the $55 million to the community, but they have refused up till now to do a proper cleanup. They are trying to get their way out of the cleanup. They took us back to court in 2017, and the judge said, go back and do the cleanup. They did not clean up in 2017. In 2018, just on the 22nd of May, they took us to court again, and we won. This time, the judge said that they should have to go and do a proper cleanup to the satisfaction of the community, which must have to be of international standard. So that is exactly where we are right now. And we hope that Shell will respect the judgment from the court and start to do some work by cleaning up the Ogun environment.
Now, this is definitely a precedent-setting judgment, and congratulations for carrying on the struggle and the success you had so far. What do you think is necessary to avert situations like this? Because this is a struggle that is going on since 1990, and it has taken nearly three decades to come to some form of resolution in one part of the region. Earlier today, you were talking about children who have died or who have had some health implications on that. Now, obviously, we need to stop that. Now, to stop that, what do you think is necessary? Do we need better laws? Do we need better enforcement? Do we need international rules? Do we need some kind of a binding international treaty? What are the kind of remedies that do you see that can work in this regard?
It is a little bit complicated because the oil companies are not prepared to spend money. They are prepared to devastate the environment, but not to take responsibility of it at all. And that is why these sort of things are happening. And if we allow them to come up with voluntary codes, nothing will happen. Because Shell does not even follow their own internal procedures and processes and standards and that. So that has never worked, and that is not going to work for us. What we need is, we have quite a lot of laws in Nigeria, but these laws are not working. Shell does not respect local laws of Nigeria. They have never respected it. You know, they flare gas, they pollute the environment, and there are no consequences. So we have not been able to hold them to account in Nigeria. We need international standard being set, which must be able to hold these oil companies to account. In fact, litigation outside Nigeria so far has only been what has been able to hold Shell to account. Apart from that, nothing has been able to influence Shell to stop the bad practices that they are doing in our communities and in our society today in Nigeria.
Now, this is the final question, but my understanding of the Niger Delta and the companies that operated there is that while the multinational company is the primary operator, the majority stake is owned by the NNPC, the Nigerian National Petroleum Company. Are there ways to hold the Nigerian company to account? Because if they are the majority holder of a project, they should also bear some responsibility.
Shell is the technical partner.
Right.
A joint stock company with NNPC.
Correct.
So they are those who are operating the pipelines. They are those who are doing all the technical work as far as these things are concerned. So if you are responsible for safety, if you are responsible for those standards, you must be able to do those things. If you cannot do it, then you know you cannot do it. However, the Nigerian government must have a role to play as far as these things we are talking about is concerned.
The enforcement, yeah.
Yes, they must be able to enforce these rules. They gave mining lease to Shell, and they must conform with the Nigerian laws and respect the laws. If they are not doing that, there must be a way whereby they should be held responsible or accountable for those activities. Because the local communities, like the Ogoni people who are helpless, cannot hold Shell to account. And Nigerian government, Ogoni people are their responsibility. Yet, we have not been able to be protected by the government because the way Shell operate, they are even bigger than the Nigerian government. They are above the law in Nigeria. They do whatever they like. So there must be an international standard set up, either through one way or the other, whereby we should be able to hold all these oil companies to account for the atrocities being committed on a daily basis.
Thank you very much, Lazarus, and wish you all the best with your work.
Thanks a lot.